Welcome. This is Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is live financial talk radio, and yeah, we call this the Daily Route. What's going on with your money today?
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Listen, if you have a financial situation, you're just running around worrying about it right now, you can get a little bit of peace of mind here. Call Gregory. He's a Hall of Fame financial advisor, lives to answer questions on the radio, and would love to help you right now. 504-260-0995. Hey, it's your lucky day. 504-260-0995. I mean, you want to just jump straight into the news, or you want to do the Social Security stuff first?
Go into the news.
All right, so stocks posted a gain, and Gregory, don't look now. This is the third straight positive day of gains. And if you go and you look at the numbers, last week actually was a positive week in the markets. And the week before that was a positive week in the markets. It's starting to feel like less of a landslide avalanche downturn than it did right around the Christmas time.
But it was an avalanche.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say the avalanche has stopped, but this could be the dead cat bounce on the way to more losses. But I'm starting to see like little glimmers of optimism out there. Am I doing it too fast?
I think tomorrow and each thereafter is an important day. See, one of the things that you look at from a technical standpoint is the downturn we had in October. That reached 14 days downward. Now, is there ups mixed in there? Yes, but nothing sustainable. You'll have an up day here, then two more downs, three, then an up, then another down, another down, then an up. You see what I'm talking about there?
Yep, lower lows, lower highs.
Yeah, and then you had 7 days of up, more ups than downs. Then you had another 7 days down, then another 7 days up. Then we had another 14 days of down.
So you're tracing symmetry again.
Yes. Okay. And now we've had 7 days up. Today made eight. So at some point, now look, you're assuming this is just going to keep going straight up. And it's not. It doesn't work that way ever. So was this the last day of that upswing? And then the pullback comes. Does it go back and test lows again, or do we set a higher low? Then we've done something. It's when the next pullback happens, and then where is the support for that pullback, and then it moves up again. So do we end up, now we've went 1 day, tested time by an extra day, because time and symmetry. So then when we pull back, are we creating a higher low, and then assuming we find support and create that, then do we move up and create a higher high? Now you have something to build on. Until we see that, we have nothing. So you can be optimistic, excited. Oh yeah, we're having some up days. Well, we've had them before. Seven of them here, seven of them there. What'd that end up doing? Creating a huge 14-day downturn. Okay, I didn't mean to pop your balloon.
Oh, it's popped.
You just look like I just stole your Christmas present.
Well, you did. You popped my balloons, and then you kind of smushed the little rubber parts that were left into the dirt after that. But that's what you're here for.
But if I get too excited. What I'm here for is to, and I had a discussion with a new client that came on board today, was talking about that same thing. He's, oh. You know, I changed my mind. I'm not moving the assets over because I made $11,000. Yeah, and that was kind of expected. But what's important is what happens next. And that's all well and fine.
I mean, there's
outside. You'll probably change your mind later and move them over. But he kind of had a little calm. And I'm sure the other guy talked to him. And that's okay. He's on the buy and hold path. And we're in money market, so we can watch this at a calmness and no stress, no matter the direction.
Outside forces can still move the needle
and that seems to just fall into place at the right time. you know, the president is speaking tonight in about an hour. What is that going to do to markets tomorrow?
That was my next question.
More, or are we getting more? Or are we getting less? You know, the head of Apple, you know, he's, oh, I'm optimistic about trade talks. Well, I'm glad somebody is, because I listened to a piece on Fox Business this morning. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he said, you know, Trump may end up looking like the fool in this. This wasn't his exact words. It's my interpretation of that. But Trump may end up looking like the fool, because you're actually going to go and change China's personality to get them to conform to us. And, you know, that was really a good point. And if China doesn't change, we don't get a deal done. What, that, once again, that's something that could affect markets. Trump could say, look, we're going to have to, here's why I'm doing this, and we're going to keep the country closed till they come around, but here's what's happening. Some people are thinking, oh, he's going to do the emergency thing. Everything can get back going, and he's going to build the wall. Well, it's going to be lawsuit hell if he's going to try the emergency. You think they're just, okay, it's an emergency, you can build. You think he's going to be left alone at that?
No, they'll
I don't
sue
think
over
the
everything.
Emergency thing is going to fly at all. This is, he's going to explain to the country why we're holding out to do this, and this is the time to do that, and why you need to call your legislators to support this. That's what I think the conversation's about. And what that means is, yeah, this is going to run longer. How will that affect the market? So we have all these things, but what seems to fit in? All this stuff has been going on when you look at the chart. I look at this stuff all the time. Then, you know, and that's and we're talking about the S&P 500 chart, but I look at the NASDAQ, the Dow, the Russell, and then these thousands of individual positions out there. Now, I have computers that sort through that. Now, I may look at 60 a day, but...
Okay, so the speech is an address to the nation. He is taking over the airwaves. He's going to be on all the networks and the news channels, and it's going to happen. We're only on two affiliates right now, our New Orleans and our Biloxi iHeart affiliates, and they are both running the show, or running the speech. It basically is a show. Right as our show
and
ends.
And they should.
Well, and it was nice.
It's a precedent.
Because Trump timed it for exactly when our show ends, and we're just going to flip to Trump after that.
Yeah, he looks out for us on that. We're good friends.
They're doing a rebuttal from the Democrat side.
I'm just kidding. We've never, and the president's never spoke. Have you spoke to the president?
All the time.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, we've seen each other Snapchat.
People will be believing us on that and then hating on us. But look, or loving on us. It could go either way, you know. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much evenly divided out there. So with that said, we appreciate him doing his thing at 8 o'clock.
I'm sort of hoping for the stalemate to continue because, as you know, I love a good shutdown.
I expect it to continue. That's where I think this goes, and he's explaining why.
All right, well, we're doing all this other newsy stuff. Let's knock out the numbers here in the segment. Welcome to The Numbers. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world today while you were out winning at life. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs we're looking at right now. Actually, Gregory is looking at another one, but I'm looking at them. Go to winningatlife.com or download the Winning at Life app. They're all right there. And it was green across the boards. The Dow Jones was up 1.1%. S&P was up 1%. NASDAQ up 1.1%. Russell had the most fun. It was up a whole percent and a half. So it was just kind of a nice little solid in unison move up as far as open to close. There's a little rockiness in the middle of the day, but hey, I'll take the greens wherever we can get them, because there's a lot of pessimism out there, and I see a little more optimism than some of the pessimists.
And you had 10-year treasuries move to 2.724. You know, to me, that is good news.
Keep going, guys.
Is moving it back up, get it back up to 3. Crude oil moved up a little bit, $50.29. Kind of, that's what I've kind of expected. Started its track back upward as well. Not going to stay at these low prices for a long time. Brent crude, we're not too far apart on crude oil, but Brent crude is $59.15 a barrel. Gold staying up there in the high 1200s, $1,286.70. See, you know, this chaos is like, oh, gold. I'm sure it's going to start paying a dividend. Let me get some.
Well, it's done nothing but win since the middle of November. So
yeah. And silver is, you know, gosh, it's been a long time since it's been over $15, but it's $15.70.
Oh, it's a blowout.
An ounce. Yeah.
Wait, did you say $15.70?
$15.70.
Oh, that's almost 16, Gregory. It'll be 40 any day now.
Yeah, let me go. Let's go look at the 5-day chart here that we were back on January 3rd at 1555. Let's go to the 1-month chart because it has had a run up. So we're going back to December 21st. It was at $14.70 and we've had a move upward. It peaked at $15.79. And of course today's $15.70. So nice little move up there. It had been living in the area of, you know, 14 and a half bucks, kind of moving it there in the range, 1440 to 1470 as well. We can go back and grab oil, not oil, gold, popping up stuff everywhere on my screen.
Yeah.
Gold. What happened to all the free internet we used to get, by the way, you know, it all went away.
What do you mean free internet?
Yeah. Commercials, pop-ups.
Oh, right.
Free. That was free. Oh, you're still calling this free? This is not free. We have to put up with this stuff everywhere. Free. That went away a long time ago. It's like right. Free Facebook. That went away too, didn't it? Okay. Back on gold. We were at a low of like $1,241.40 and it's moved a trek upwards. We had a spike at $1,294.80 on January 3rd, and today we're at $1,286.70.
All right, coming up, we're going to review a couple of calls from the weekly wrap covering some various aspects of Social Security. So if you had if you're looking at Social Security, how does that affect you if you're divorced? How does it affect you if you're widowed? How does it affect you if you're divorced and then your ex-spouse passed away? Gregory knows all these rules, and we'll walk through them with you. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
This is Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap. I'm Gregory Ricks, your host. Hey, thanks for joining us. The number, you're used to hearing it. Get the phone, make the call. Let's participate. We're going to talk about Social Security probably for the rest of the show. Now we're waiting for the phones to line up. Light up or fall in line to ask questions. And that's pretty much what we did on our Saturday show for about 3 hours, especially that third hour. They were coming from everywhere. 504-260-0995. I know some of you are going to call the office saying, hey, what's that number for the radio show? It's 504-260-0995 for the radio show. Download the Winning at Life app. You can text us, email us, call us from that app. Listen to when we get preempted. There's some basketball that goes on around here certain days a week. You can still grab our show because we're on the stream, the Winning at Life app, and the podcast as well. Tremendous. And we're one of the top podcasts in the country as well with the content we have. It's unreal. 504-260-0995. Let's go, James.
Social Security is on tap for a new milestone this year. It's going to do something that's never been done in its 83 years of existence.
Lose money.
No, it actually did that the last 2 years. This year, it is going to pay out in benefits more than $1 trillion. It almost did it last year. $991.8 billion in scheduled benefits were paid out last year. Now, if you add up the other administrative fees and what they have to transfer to the railroad retirement system or whatever, it barely passed $1 trillion last year. But in just flat-out benefits and just checks to beneficiaries, it will pass $1 trillion this year. And then they're expecting the spending and the benefits to really take off. In 5 years, it'll be $1.36 trillion. It's going to be $1.5 trillion by 2025. And then $1.75 trillion 2027. That's according to the trustees' own short-term forecast released this past June.
Nowhere near what was projected 70, 80 years ago?
They expected the population to continue growing at the rate it was growing at, and it's not. So the revenues are smaller than they were expecting. And then the beneficiaries are living longer than they thought in the past. So the number of people receiving benefits, paying in and receiving, they were off on both counts.
Well, this is going to help you why we're getting to these numbers. The number of Americans at least 70, age 75, the number of Americans at least age 75 is projected to double over the next 20 years, rising from 23 million in 2020 to 45 million in 2040. How about that math?
We need these people payouts. We need these people to keep working is what we need.
Oh, that's changing because one, you already mentioned it. We don't have as many people being born and working. The numbers just didn't keep rising. That having a whole bunch of kids for family. You're the only one that I know that's been old school.
Isn't your household responsible for four children?
Well, yeah, but you know, I'm blaming you, not me.
All right.
Well, I did my part. If you kind of say, yeah, we've kind of covered the bases there, but most people don't. How many families, you know, have four kids?
I know people look at me like I'm Amish or something. It's like, that's not that crazy.
Where's your wagon and horses?
Yeah.
So that's some big numbers out there that's coming. So this 1 trillion at 1.5 trillion, it's going to get a lot bigger than that.
I want to review a couple calls here. We had Susan in New Orleans who was divorced, and she was, I think she had already turned on her Social Security, but she was wondering if she could switch to her ex's record, how that works. We had a Social Security question from Lori in Van Cleve, who's going through a divorce settlement and wants to know how that's going to shake out. A couple more good Social Security calls, but let's start with the live one. Let's do Beverly in Slidell. You're going to be on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Beverly?
Good afternoon. Well, I actually called to help members of your audience. When I was 64, my husband passed away, and I went to the Social Security office, and I was still 2 years away from taking my Social Security, and so I thought that I could leave my husband's Social Security in and have it accrue until what would have been his age 70, and I could take mine in the interim, and I put that forth to the Social Security office, and they said, oh, sure, you can do that. Yeah, don't do that.
So what happened?
Well, I lost 2 years of my husband's Social Security, which was significantly more than mine. Because when I went back to sign up for mine, somebody said, well, why aren't you taking your husband's? Yeah, so my advice to people new to Social Security, find yourself a financial advisor. Do not take the Social Security office word as being gospel.
So what age did you switch to your husband's?
I switched when I turned 66, and only because when I went in there to apply for mine, they said, well, you should be taking your husband's more. And I said, well, I was going to leave it there until, you know, his age 70. They said, oh, no, it stays the same from the day he died.
And what age did he die?
2 years, you know, about $24,000, $48,000.
And what age did he die?
He was 63.
Yeah, there was no more workers' benefit put in to that.
Right.
In that case. So what you have to do is look at the scenario. Now, your case, you could have deferred to age 70. So what you've got to run both scenarios out there, which to take first. Now, they judge each as separate. The survivor's benefit, let's say if you had taken your husband's, you would have taken a haircut if you had turned that on early on your age, but you did wait till you were FRA and you got the full 100% benefit of his.
Right,
there was no haircut.
Even at age 70, mine was still less than his was.
Right. And I'm just speaking of why you've got to run those scenarios, and they're not there to give advice or say, oh no, you're looking, they should. Because the law says you have rights to that. So in some cases, it's where you take the haircut, turn the widow's benefit on early. But when you go to switch to yours, the haircut does not remain. That's what I want to get across is if you were to switch to yours and you deferred to your personal FRA or you deferred to age 70, that haircut that you took on taking the widow's benefits, the reduction, does not get passed along to you.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So I just wanted to kind of put, a lot of people don't realize that, but sometimes it's opposite of what you think, like in your case, that you needed to know these numbers and have the calculators run.
Right. Yeah. I needed to know that his would not accrue. That was the only reason I didn't take his at that time.
Right.
Thanks for sharing your story, Beverly.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right. If you want to be next, 504-260-0995. How many of these calls have we gotten where someone talked to Social Security, someone at the Social Security office, and got incorrect advice?
Oh, we hear it all the time. But I want to go back over again, because I don't know that we've talked about it this way, is the survivor's benefit is looked at differently than your own benefit. And also, there is a reduction, there is an income cap that where you could give back money. So there's an income test, just like on turning on your Social Security benefit early. There's an income test for widows. But FRA for the survivor benefit, depending on year born, is not quite exact as your own FRA benefit taking your benefit. So that's those tables slight, not much, but there's a slight difference, meaning you could get that turned on to get the full benefit a little bit earlier. So an example, and this depends on how things time out. Sometimes, you know, people are widowed in their late 50s, early 60s, mid 60s, later. And it might be a case where you turn on the spouse's, take the widow's benefit at FRA and defer yours, and you're switching to that and having a larger benefit. Early 60s, you might be taking a reduction because you're turning on the survivor benefit early, even though, remember, there's a slight difference and you need to understand that, but you're turning it on early. Then you switch to your benefit and you're getting at full at your FRA or later growing it to 70, and you're getting a full benefit of turn on. That reduction does not carry over. Like, now speaking of spousal benefits, you turn yours on early and start taking it, then you switch to the husband's record because half of his is larger than your benefit. That reduction carries forward on that. So we got to understand survivor benefits is a separate record than your own benefit.
All right, real quick, you asked Beverly how old was the husband when he passed away. She said 63. You did a nod and then continued down another path. What did you learn from that? What was that about?
Well, he had created all the benefit he was going to create. His benefit, nothing was being added to the record, so it was a little bit less in that case.
All right, we'll do Emmanuel and Gaucher when we get back. Hanging on the line, if you want to be next, 504-260-0995. We're focusing on Social Security now. If you've got questions about spousal benefits, survivor benefits, widow's benefits, Gregory's got a pretty good grasp. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Welcome. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, the Money Show. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, Hall of Fame Financial Advisor, 504-260-0995. I'm your co-host, James Parker. When we get to it, we want to review a couple of great calls we had on the weekly wrap concerning a couple of different Social Security scenarios. And the reason we like to focus on this is because this is just space we own. We're competing against nobody. Who else can you call right now that has expertise and has gone through people, hundreds of households and their scenarios dealing with Social Security? You can't name another one. That's why people call us. So 504-260-0995. Emmanuel Gaucher, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you?
Yes, how you doing today? Thank you for having me.
Great. It's a pretty good day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's nice and cool weather right now, man. We enjoying it while we can. Hey, I have a couple questions for you, man. One is for my friend. They were married for 20 years, and they got divorced 10 years ago. Both of them have since got remarried, and he's about to retire this year. And my question is, who's entitled, which spouse is entitled to his retirement? The first wife or the second wife? That's the question, because she hasn't gotten anything from him yet.
he's married to his second wife, right?
Yes, sir.
And the first wife has remarried as well, right?
Right.
Okay. They're, as long as they're married, their Social Security benefits, if they were drawing spousal benefits, it's to the one that they're married to.
Okay. So she's not entitled to anything.
No.
Wow.
Unless she's single. Now, the whole scenario's changed that if she divorces, then she can go off of either record.
So,
and if her spouse dies, she can go off of either record. And this is to either marriage.
So, Emmanuel,
you could stay married at least 10 years and call it an extra day, and do it four times, a total of 40 years, and none of those women remarry, they all have rights to draw off your record.
Wow.
As spousal benefits. And when you die, if your benefit is, from that standpoint, is larger than their record, they all four could draw from your record.
Your friend's record, maybe.
Or your friend's record. I'm just using him as an example.
And that's the same when it comes to Social Security as well?
That is Social Security.
Okay, your retirement and all of that together.
Yeah.
Okay. And the question that I have for myself personally is, I'm a single man. I own a couple of businesses, and I have, you know, been fairly successful in life, and I'm not married. Now, my question is, once I do get married, how many years are we to be married before she's entitled to what I have accumulated before ever meeting her, not what I accumulate while in the marriage?
Yeah, I think it's 2 years as long as you're married, and if you die, she draws off your record. It might be a year.
I don't think he's talking about her having access to the Social Security record. He means his assets. He means not Social Security. He means income.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Social Security.
You left the Social Security talk there for a second, Emmanuel. You were just talking about assets that you got since the marriage?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about for myself, because I'm 39 years old.
If you're concerned about that, I'll tell you, there's a name for it. It's called prenup, because I don't know what she's accessed to, but... in some states where it's community property, yeah, she has the rights to the fruits of the assets, could have access to the assets. So once you get married, it's all a negotiation if you're wanting to undo it.
Okay, yeah, I was just trying to find out if she was entitled as soon as I say I do, or is there a 2 or 3 year,
It's just going to depend on the law.
Hey, Emmanuel's
and the lawyers.
Emmanuel's girlfriend, if you're listening, I'm sorry about the less romantic nature of this call than what we're
nowadays
used to.
You never know, man. You got to be careful, I accumulated this before I ever met her,
Yeah, you might want to talk to Wes Blanchard, our estate planning attorney, for help on that. He's at my website, gregoryricks.com.
Well, you guys have been very helpful to me, man. I thank you very much.
Thank you, and thanks for calling for your friend.
Yeah, I like where your head's at, Emmanuel. Good guy. All right, let's go to Jeff. If you want to be next, 504-260-0995. How can we help you? Jeff in Socher, Mississippi.
How you doing tonight? Question, hey. My wife passed away in 2014. I was married 28 years to her. We were married up in New York City, and I moved down here to Mississippi in 2016. When would I qualify for her survivor benefits? I'm 55 now. She passed away at age 63.
Are you on disability?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Then age 60 is when you would be able to start drawing survivor benefits.
Okay.
There's an earnings test. If you're still working, that math won't work for you, but you are taking a haircut. It's a reduction. You get the full amount of that benefit when you reach the full retirement age. So that's going to be close to what your FRA would be.
I gotcha. Okay. And I would file that through the state that I'm currently living in, or?
Yeah, at the Social Security offices in your state.
Okay.
Because it's your rights by the law to have access to those benefits. So just file it in your state.
Okay, very good. I just wasn't sure if there was a difference between New York law and Mississippi law.
No, this is federal law, and the states operate the Social Security offices for the federal government, and the states are reimbursed for doing so.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a short and brief and to the point answer. I appreciate it.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's all it took. You don't sound like you're from New York.
No, I've been down here for a couple of years, and I was born down here and moved up there when I was 21. Got married when I was 22. So,
it's coming back.
You know.
Right on. All right. Well, thank you very much, Jeff. If you
have anything else. Thank you very much.
Yeah, just let us know. 504-260-0995. Anything else you want to add to that, Gregory?
I do. I'm looking at some numbers here. Let me get the office correct here. The Office of Inspector General has a study here. Well, a random sample of 13,564 widows and widowers who are currently receiving survivor benefits who were duly eligible. It found that 11,123 would have been eligible to receive a higher benefit had they delayed their retirement application until 70 and a half. The report calls on the SSA to take action to correct benefit of underpayments for people it had already underpaid, and then it remind employees of their need to discuss delaying strategies. The OIG's report said in the appendix that the SSA agreed with the recommendations. So we'll see if action comes forward, but what they don't really talk about is the ways to maximize widows' benefits. And then what it really comes down to is the switching strategies to whether to draw your record, then switch to the deceased spouse, or take the survivor benefits from the deceased spouse, then switch to yours. They're not going over theirs. They're just telling you, well, that's not changing, so you need to take this one. They have some explaining to do.
Yeah, I mean, that report came out like last summer, and it was something like only 20% of the widows and their survivors that had the overlap actually maxed out their potential benefit.
Yeah, it needs to be a discussion. So what the caller earlier was telling you, that if they're not having discussion, you probably should talk to somebody like me about having a discussion of what are your scenarios and which is going to work best for you mathematically.
Let's get Elmer in Social, Mississippi. Elmer, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
Yes, sir. Good day to you, sir, and thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering if I'm eligible for my dad's survivor benefits. I'm retired, and that's my question. If I can receive any survivor benefits from my dad and being in the military.
Now, this would have to do with spousal benefits, not a spouse. We're talking about spousal benefits, not a parent's benefit. You sound like you're over age 17.
That's probably a safe assumption. Hey, never hurts to ask, Elmer. Good shot. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life.
And the thing that really gets me is how your memory drowns.
I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap. This has kind of been Social Security Hour. Yeah, we talked about the market and hours and my take of what the next couple weeks could look like. Yeah, and hey, it might be impacted what the president has to say, and I guess he's going to speak somewhere in the 8 o'clock hour.
He's slated in 12 minutes.
In 12 minutes.
We're going to flip to that.
So
Fox News radio coverage of that.
So you can stay right here and listen to the president speak if you wish, but we've been taking Social Security topics, and one of the things we're wanting to emphasize is how Social Security office really isn't about running scenarios for you. They kind of tell you what they know. And look, I'm not saying they're wrong, but we get a lot of feedback kind of saying that's not what they told me. And you went back and they checked it. And yeah, you were right, Gregory. So we hear that a lot. The Inspector General Office of the Inspector General did a study, and I'm going to repeat that once again, that over, what is that number again? Here it is, 13,564 widows and widowers who were currently receiving survivor benefits and who were duly eligible for both strategies found that 11,123 would have been eligible to receive a higher benefit had they delayed their retirement application until age 70 and a half. So what they're basically saying is they're turning their record on too soon because they could have kept drawing survivor benefits and then taken an increase in benefit, and they were not advised to do that.
The proportions are incredible, though. 11,000 out of 13,000 fell short of the max.
Yeah, and it says, and they also recommended that they go back and pay the difference. I don't know about that. We're kind of broke, but, you know, that's really bad
when you're
getting
point.
The wrong information on that. And we know this stuff backwards and forwards. This is how we help, part of how we help clients every day. And we're actually going to have a number of Social Security educational events coming up this year. We're going to try to do around 10 of them this year. We'll see, maybe more in some of the other communities. And I'm talking about North Shore, Mandeville, Covington area. We're talking about Gulfport, Biloxi. We're also talking about New Orleans, Metairie, Kenner area also on these events. So make sure the information gets out there so you can bring your friends. You know, Social Security is a giant decision. You know, I kind of state that if you're turning on money and generating a $25,000 income that possibly could go up because of COLA increases, maybe it will, maybe it, just say it doesn't ever go up as a net to you. What kind of money would it take to generate that $25,000 a year income? I'll help you with the math. Let's say it's a 5% return on assets. That's $500,000. You're making, to turn on that $25,000 a year Social Security check, you're making a $500,000 decision. These are big decisions, you know, and if you're turning it on earlier, you might take a haircut that reduces that down to $18,000 or $19,000. Or if you defer, you might turning it in to a larger benefit. And this can affect spousal benefits as well. So these are things you need to have a discussion about, not just saying, oh, I turned 62, I'm turning it on. Oh, I'm 64, lost my job, I'm turning it on. Oh, I'm 66 and 4 months, I'm turning it on. And what about the consideration of the spouse? You need to consider that. You need to correlate it to your overall assets. You have retirement assets, you have a pension, you have 401k, you have IRAs, you have savings. How are you income streaming from that? Maybe you need to look at when to turn it on to max both of your income strategies.
Okay, so a caller from the Saturday show, the weekly wrap, Susan, New Orleans. You're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Susan?
I have a question about Social Security and divorced women. I was married to my husband for 38 years. When he left me, I was 62, so I took Social Security early. And now that he's 67, he's taking it. What is the rule if I can get half of his, or a 10-year rule? What is the rule on that? And it, would it be better for me to drop mine and take half of his?
You should go to Social Security.
Put in the max.
Well, you're going to need, you know, proof that you were married and now divorced. But you should go to Social Security and talk to them about if half of his is a larger benefit than yours. And yes, if his is larger, you should switch to it. Absolutely.
If his is larger, meaning one half of his or all of his?
Well, half of his, because he's still living. He dies.
Okay, but when,
that's a different discussion.
If he dies, do I get all of it or half of it?
You would be eligible to get all of his benefit because you were married to him for quite a while.
Okay.
More than 10 years.
Okay. And if I'm 65 and he dies, would I still be eligible for all of his benefits?
Yes. Doesn't matter okay. when he dies. When he dies, you're eligible for those.
You put in your time, Susan.
I'm sorry?
James said you put in your time. You're eligible. Those are your okay. rights. And it okay. he don't ever have to know. It doesn't matter. Whatever okay. you're due under the law, you should get. It has no negative impact on him. He doesn't even need to know. Unless you communicate with him, he won't know, because nobody's going to tell. Social Security's not going to tell him you're drawing your max benefit under the law, and it has to do with his work record. It doesn't matter to him because it doesn't affect him.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we on previous break, we had a caller come in that probably missed part of the discussion earlier when we were, what was it?
It was two segments ago now.
Yeah, what was the guy's name? Eduardo?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel from Gaucher had called in and was talking about these scenarios of his friends, if you take benefits and such. And if it's a divorced spouse and they are taking eligible for benefit from the living ex, it's not going to affect the ex. The ex would never know that they're doing it because it's the ex-wife's right. If it's survivor benefits, it's not affecting one of the other wives drawing on the record either. It's their rights under the law. And nobody's, oh, you've got too many wives, we're cutting all their benefits. No, it doesn't have a limit. Just how many can you marry and stay married to for 10 years? What was Elizabeth Taylor? How many times she do it?
You know what? I was just thinking that too. She married seven different guys. She had eight marriages.
Two of them was the same.
Yeah, she repeated one dude twice.
She was one practicing that. She said, I'm going to have a lot of benefit. Let me marry a bunch of guys.
Just legalize polygamy if you're going to be doing all that. But seriously, was she married to any of those chaps for a 10-year span?
No, not all of them. But just saying, what if she had?
You know what? We'll have to look.
They
that
all
up.
Could have drawn off the record and not been cut.
Well, we will.
And
have to
her
look
living,
that up.
If she had lived longer, they could have drawn benefits, and she would have never known because Social Security's not calling up. Hey, your ex, several of them, they're drawing benefits, so we're cutting your check back. That don't happen.
Oh, this is ridiculous. I tried to look it up on Wikipedia, and there's a whole section on her marriages. It's like a book long. All right.
I think she did write a book about all that.
Are y'all covering some of this at next week's Gregory Ricks Live?
We're going to talk about...
You're having Social Security events, but this is a different event.
Yeah, this is not a Social Security event, but we will talk about correlating it. And I'll promote one of my Social Security events.
All right. How many seats are left? Last I checked, there was 10 left.
Yeah, I think we're at about 8.
Okay.
And this is something you should attend. We're going to talk about this volatility, why you need a risk number. Does buy and hold work? I'll tell you why it doesn't, because it's a matter of timing. And in retirement, you're taking income. You know, when you're young and want to buy in and just keep holding, long as that trend holds it over time, the market keeps going up. And you can dollar cost average in. But when you have assets going all over the place in value and you're taking distributions, it's a reverse spend down and it accelerates the depletion of your assets. So that's why you need to be cautious on when markets do this ugly stuff. And there are other ways to go about. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, multiple streams of income. We're going to have a brief talk with Wes Blanchard about estate planning, and we're going to experience some great food, pair it with wine, and learn some.
All right, reserve your seat for the next Gregory Ricks Live, gregoryricks.com, or you can call the office, 504-832-9200. Stay put. Coming up next, the presidential address to the nation will be held right here on this station. We're going to switch to Fox News Radio next. In the meantime, you're home away from the show, winningitlife.com and the Winning It Life app. We'll be back to do this tomorrow. We'll see you then. I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.